This is the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast, where we share tips, tricks, and secrets to infant and child sleep and communication, development, and growth. If you're dreading the start of the 4-month sleep regression, or you're in the thick of it already, and you're searching for the secret sauce on how to survive this season as easily as possible, this episode is for you. You're listening to the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast, episode number 7, 4 Simple Steps to Surviving the 4-Month Regression. Hey girl, welcome back to the Play, Sleep, Grow podcast. I'm Ashley Thompson, Catholic homeschooling mom, wife and businesswoman, and certified pediatric sleep consultant. In today's episode, we're going to answer this hot question that I get asked a lot. How in the world do I survive the 4-Month Sleep Regression? Okay, so originally, when I was thinking about today's podcast topic, I heard my husband's voice in my head saying, "Do you want to survive or do you want to thrive?" And I felt the same gut twist I always feel when he asks me this question. Because here's why. I feel like it's a loaded question. Do I want to thrive instead of survive? Yes, of course. Do I want my community of moms that I adore to thrive instead of survive? Yes, 1,000 times yes. But here's the thing. Sometimes the first step is surviving before you can get to the thriving. Do you ever feel this way? So let's be gentle with ourselves today and focus first on surviving this 4-month regression. Before we get started, I wanted to take a minute to share my joy. I just completed my favorite free resource I have ever created. It is a 1-minute quiz, seriously, 1 minute, that generates a sample sleep schedule specifically for your child. And yes, it's 100% free. Pause this episode and snag yours now at www.playsleepgrow.com/sleep-schedule-quiz. That's playsleepgrow.com/sleep-schedule-quiz. All right, so let's dive into this week's episode. I'm sure by now you've seen countless posts on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, whatever, about the 4-month sleep regression. If you'd like a little bit more background on what exactly the 4-month regression is and why it happens, check out episode number 6, How to Know When the 4-Month Regression is Over. I'll link to it in the show notes. Today, you're going to learn strategies on how to survive this regression. As you know, your baby will experience a number of sleep regressions in the first couple of years of life. And many people are beginning to refer to these hiccups in their children's sleep as progressions, because the reason they happen is entirely due to progression in your child's physical and mental growth and development. Sometimes regressions happen because baby is going through a physical growth spurt and requires more feeds. Other times, baby is learning a new skill like crawling or standing. The 4-month regression is unique because this is when your baby's actual sleep structure is changing. And she's becoming more aware of her surroundings. And she's also probably learning to roll at the same time. It's a whole thing. These recommendations are based on what your baby is going through, the accelerated growth and mental development. Will they work 100% of the time? No. But are they worth trying? Absolutely. Because even if they don't solve the entire problem during the sleep regression, they will likely at least make it better, and they will absolutely help support healthy, consolidated sleep for your baby in the long run. So without further ado, here are 4 simple steps to surviving the 4-month sleep regression. Number 1, the first essential step is to optimize baby's sleep environment. If you've listened to episode 6, you know that one major cause of the 4-month regression is that baby is becoming much more aware of her surroundings. This absolutely includes awareness of her environment when she's falling asleep and when she has brief awakenings. To optimize her sleep environment, it needs to be pitch black dark, on a flat, safe sleep surface, like her crib, between 68 and 70 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 20 to 21 degrees Celsius. Make sure she's not wearing too many layers and also wearing enough. Clear as mud, right? I have a free guide that shows how many layers babies should wear based on each temperature, and I'll link to it at the bottom of the show notes. Use white noise to drown out other sounds, and if she hasn't started rolling yet, swaddle. Even if she's fought the swaddle in the past, as long as she's not rolling, don't give up on it. Trust me. Number two, the second step to surviving the four-month regression, watch wake windows. I know, this may sound like a no-brainer, but listen. Wake windows are extremely time-sensitive. The difference between an optimal wake window and disastrous over- or under-tiredness at this stage can be as little as 15 minutes. You heard me right, 15 minutes. And as a transition period, baby might be in between optimal wake windows. And she may have wake windows that shift slightly as the day progresses. For example, some babies this age need shorter wake windows first thing in the morning, and their wake windows lengthen slightly throughout the day. So put on your Sherlock Holmes cap and get detecting, and start putting baby down before his wake window is up. Number three, the third step is to make sure you're offering full feeds. From the newborn period on, anytime you feed your baby milk, whether breast or formula, make sure your baby is taking a full feed. And that will help that make it much more likely that she is not struggling to fall asleep or stay asleep simply because she's still hungry. When breastfeeding, full feeds also ensure that baby is getting both the thirst-quenching foremilk and calorie-dense hind milk. The full feeds also promote your milk production because emptying the breast is vital to supporting milk production. Do keep in mind that if your baby suffers from reflux, your pediatrician may want you to provide smaller, more frequent feeds. If this is the case, then obviously listen to your pediatrician. Number four, the fourth step is to consider offering more feeding opportunities during the day. As a time of major mental and physical development, there is a chance that baby will want to feed more. But make sure those feeds are offered during the day as much as possible to avoid them interfering with quality night's sleep. If you are using the eat, play, sleep pattern in order to promote healthy sleep habits, you can always try an eat, play sleep pattern. Or simply feed on demand as much as baby wants and simply stop feeds 15 to 30 minutes before the next sleep period begins. And now a bonus step. And it's not listed as one of the main steps because it has to do with rolling, which often happens around the same time as the four-month regression, but isn't technically one of the causes of the regression. But it can absolutely negatively impact sleep. The key to physical milestones like rolling and crawling and standing and walking, give as much opportunity as possible to allow baby to practice during wake periods. Development-wise, the four-month sleep regression lasts about 1 to 2 weeks. So if you're still seeing negative impact on baby's sleep 3, 4, 5 weeks later, it's not the regression anymore. This is prime time to begin sleep training with pediatrician approval. And those are the four simple steps, plus a bonus step to surviving the four-month sleep regression. One, optimize sleep environment. Two, watch wake windows. Three, full feeds. Four, more feeding opportunities during the day. And five, a bonus, give as much rolling practice during wake periods as possible. Would you do me a favor? Would you please share this episode with one of your favorite mom friends? As a mom, I know that our relationships with other moms are some of the greatest resources we have. mom-to-mom relationships are unbelievably fruitful and can make literally all the difference in the world. And I would love the opportunity to be able to be a little spark for peace in as many moms' lives as possible. I'll see you next week. Speak soon. Just an ending note. Please remember that this is a podcast for personal use. It is absolutely not medical advice and should not be considered or used as such. I am not a medical sleep professional. And though I am a pediatric sleep consultant and speech-language pathologist, the information I present on this podcast is general information that I have gathered through my own education, research, and experience, and not specific to you or your child. Before implementing any ideas or suggestions I may provide, please clear it with your or your child's doctor first.